go back to Genesis 49 and the first part of the message. It won't sound very pleasant, but if you'll stay with me until I finish, I think you'll have a good example of the amazing grace of God and what God can do for people. I think God changes people. I know He changed me, and I know everyone here has a different story when you came to the Lord, what you were like before you met the Lord. Some people say, well, there wasn't much of a change. Well, I disagree. I think if we come to the Lord, I don't care how good we are, we're going to be better after we meet Jesus. When the grace of God comes in, there's always a change. It makes the difference. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 49. Keep your Bibles open tonight, and I'm going to read some other verses to you. Genesis 49, and we'll read about Simeon and Levi tonight, beginning with verse 5. And we'll give you the title of the message probably to the end, if I remember. After all, I am getting older. I told Candy, I said, I hate it when my birthday falls on a service, because we don't, with birthdays, and I'm not critical of anyone, with birthdays to us, we're thankful for every day. Every day is a birthday for us, because every day God gives you to live for Him and work for Him, you're blessed and you're thankful for it. But we do thank the Lord for His goodness to us, and I thank the Lord especially for allowing us to be a part of this church and the great things that we've seen God do through each one of you. And the Lord just continues to pour out His blessings. In Genesis 49, let's begin reading with verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret. Under their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will. Please mark that word, self-will. In their self-will, they dig down a wall. Cursed, underline the word cursed. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, this particular prophecy that Jacob gives to Simeon and Levi, we see no good in it, because instead of a blessing, it's a curse. When he talks about them, there's been great division that has occurred, and something has happened there, because he talks about the fact that from his prophetic blessing, they will not be blessed at all. Instead, they'll be cursed. Be a terrible thing to have a curse placed on you because of your self-will. Now, it's interesting that we read this, and you know, there's a reason why he calls them instruments of cruelty, and why there's such anger of the Lord against them, and why he has this feeling toward them, and how prophetically it's going to doom their life. So when you read that, you know, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand these fellows must have done something really, really horrible. For time's sake, I'm not going to read all of the verses out of Genesis 34. You can read that when you go home tonight. But if you'd allow me not to take away from the Word of God whatsoever, but just to paraphrase a little bit about what happened. Their sister Dinah, they're both now daughters of a daughter of Leah, they're sons of Leah, and Dinah is out in the field. When Shechem, the son of Hamor, sees her in the field, and he goes to her and defiles her. He has a physical relationship with her, and it leaves her in a state of defilement. When that happens, immediately he goes to his father Hamor and tells him, because something takes place even though he defiled her, he falls in love with Dinah in the process and wants her to be his wife. The problem is, now this is old school preaching right here. They got it in reverse. See, that's the problem. They you don't have a physical relationship with someone and then decide you love them. You love them, you get married, and then you have a physical relationship. Thank all three of you for the amen. Told you it's old school preaching. This stuff of, you know, you got to live together for a while and try it out to see how you like. You're not buying a car. Doesn't work that way. Just let me end with that because I might get in my self-will if I go much further. But when they get the news, they let their self-will start to dictate to them a few things. They realize that, Hamor comes to Jacob and says, you know, I want to work out this agreement. My son wants your daughter. And by this time, the boys are there and they are angry at the fact that he has defiled their sister, and they want even. It's not a matter of principle, it is a matter of revenge. And they use that as an excuse in their self-will. See, now that's where the problem is today. People don't believe or don't accept that there's some things you're responsible for. Nobody made you do it. You did it because you chose to do it. And you are not a puppet on a string. God gives you a will. And you can choose to do right. You can choose to do wrong. And in their self-will, they do something deceitful. They tell them, if you want to have our sister, our recommendation is this, that if you want to be a part of a relationship, then you'll have to be circumcised. And all the males will have to be circumcised. But they did it deceitfully. And their goal was, when they were circumcised, they knew then that that would leave the men of Shechem, the Shechemites, that would leave them unable to fight effectively. So the Bible says on the third day, they knew that they were sore because these were adult men that had been circumcised. And they took advantage of their weakness and they go in with a sword and slay them. And then they take their women captive and the brethren take the spoils out of everything that's there. Now that's cruel. That's a cruel thing. You say, well, they were just trying to defend their sin. No, that's where you're wrong. They use that as an excuse. You can excuse anything away. If you're not careful in life, you'll make an excuse for everything. And that's really what they tried to do. But they made a conscious decision. That's the self-will. The things you do, it's not because somebody made you do it. Quit blaming everybody for your sin. There's some things that if you did it, you chose to do it. Well, preacher, is that Bible? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. You know it, you make a conscious decision, and your self-will says, I have decided to do it. They have decided. It's not a matter of respect. It is a matter of revenge. They want revenge. They're trying to prove a point. To them, it's the principle of the thing. And they try to get this revenge, but they use deception to do it. And not only do they use deception, but they learn deception well. Because through all of this, I'm sure their father, about this point, is thinking, wonder where they learned that from. And they learned that from Jacob, which means supplanter or deceiver. They had learned that. That's why God changed his name to Israel, because he was a deceiver himself. So you got to be careful what you are. Your kids will pick it up. And now here he is. These boys is a deceiver. And suddenly they've done this cruel act. But the reason that he was so angered with them. He said, I'm not united with you. I don't agree with this. This isn't on me. It's on you. And the reason why is because it was desecration. They took something that God intended to be sacred. Circumcision to the Jews was a covenant. And they took something that was a covenant and they used the covenant to get their own self-gain from it against self-will. It's all about them serving self and bending their will of what they want done to try to make everything come back to their desire that they had in their heart. So it's all about self-will. And he said, you're cruel. And that brought about a division. Isn't that what I read to you in the text? That I will divide them in Jacob. He said, I will scatter them in Israel. What's that mean? Well, you read your Bible and you study it out. And for time's sake, if you'll allow me to just summarize it in 30 seconds, that meant that they had no portion of inheritance. Simeon didn't receive an inheritance. His only inheritance, he didn't receive a plot of land in the promised land. His only inheritance was because Judah gave him a little part of his own inheritance. He didn't receive anything. They were divided among their brethren from that time forward. And Levi, he received nothing but 48 cities. He never received a parcel of land that was land that belonged to the Levites. They received no inheritance. And this division, because of that, It had to bring resentment with them toward their brethren because everyone else was receiving an inheritance except them. So they're cursed. Cursed because of their self-will. That's every one of us. If you're lost tonight, you're cursed. And if you're lost, you're lost because you choose to be lost. You're cursed because you serve self instead of God. And because you choose your way instead of God's way, and that's what leads to this. Now, if I had to leave you there, that'd be a sad thing, wouldn't it? But you know, we've compared all the way through. Genesis 49, and who else? Moses in Deuteronomy 33. So let's see what Moses has to say about his prophecy concerning Simeon and Levi. Oh, there is no prophecy about Simeon. Moses never mentions him. He just mentions the blessing on Levi. And when you read it, you'll find it in Deuteronomy 33, beginning with verse 8. Deuteronomy 33, 8. And of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen, neither did he acknowledge his brother, nor knew his own children. For they, who are they? Levi, the Levites. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They, who's they? Levi. Levi shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They, who's they? The Levites. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Now look at verse 11. You remember what they were in Genesis 49? Cursed. Look at verse 11. Bless, Lord, his substance. Whose substance? Levi. And accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him and of them that hate him, that they rise not. So we read first where his father gives a prophecy where he's cursed. Now he's blessed. He's blessed. He said he's going to be the one and his descendants that will bring the incense. He's going to be the one that will offer the sacrifices on the altar. He's now prophesying of what will come. Levi, the one that was cursed, is now the one that will be the priest. The priesthood came from the tribe of Levi. Now, how in the world can you make a preacher out of someone as vile as what he was? I'm not a bright fellow, but I can figure this out. Something had to happen from Jacob's prophecy to Moses' prophecy concerning Levi. There had to be something that changed him from being a disgrace to now suddenly being blessed instead of being cursed. Something had to take place. What happened? What took place? Well, it happened in Exodus 32. In Exodus 32, you remember what happened in Exodus 32. Moses is up on the mountain to hear from the Lord. And while he's on the mountain, he's gone longer than what the people thought that he should be gone. And suddenly, they in such a short time, they finally think he's not coming back. So they convince Aaron that this is what we ought to do. We ought to try to find another way to communicate with another God. So you remember what happened when they came off the mountain? They said, I hear the noise of war. And Moses said, oh no, I hear another noise in the camp. When they got there, they now see this golden image, this golden calf. And the people are naked and they're dancing around this golden calf. And he said, they've now defiled God. They've turned from the living God to this idol, and they're worshiping this idol. He asked Aaron, what happened? He said, well, we just threw in the gold, and out came this calf. Self-will. Always justifying everything. And that's what he's trying to do. Give an excuse. We all know that doesn't happen. Someone had to make that God. Do you really want to serve a God that you can make? A God that you can make can have no more power than what you have. That's why I don't serve a God that I make. I don't serve some idol or some image or some God that can be made by hands. If we can make a God, then that's all that can happen is what we have power to. I would rather serve a God that made me. Because the God that made me and the God that made this world has the power to do anything that he chooses. I want a God that has more power than what I've got, can do greater things than I can do, that's there for me when I need him. I want a God that's not limited like we are limited. I want a God that's not bound by walls and time and space. I want a God that can be everywhere, anytime, all places, hear all people, do all things, has all power. That's the kind of God I want to serve. That's the true and the living God. So when he heard that, you'll read in Exodus 32, verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And of the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Now what happened? Well, we know in Genesis with Shechem and Horam, they used the sword, but they were cursed for using the sword. Now they use the sword again, and they slay again, but now they're blessed. Well, why did God curse them for one and bless them for the other? Can I tell you why? The first time, they did it for self-will. The next time they did it for God's will. And the slaying is more than just lives that's being taken. The first time, they were slaying for revenge. The second time, they were slaying to get rid of sin. Let me give you an example. If a preacher comes into the pulpit and takes the sword, and the only thing the preacher's trying to do is get revenge at people, God won't bless it. God will curse it. But if the preacher takes a sword, same sword, but instead of serving self-will, gets up with the hand of God with a message that God has given to the preacher to try to rid sin, that's God's will. So what happened was there was a change. And the change was this simple. He no longer got to the place where they were looking at self-will. They are now looking for God's will. Did you notice that when the grace of God came in your life and saved you, did you notice something happened to your will? Did your will stay the same or was it changed? Did you start caring about things that God cared about, or did you just care about the things that you wanted to care about? If we just use God's word as a means of self-gain and self-will and self-purpose, then we're not, a lot of people, you know, you don't mean to, but you're even guilty of studying the Bible that way. You want to argue with somebody and the only verses you're going to look up are the verses that you can argue with somebody about. That's self-will. That's self-gain. You'll not learn anything from God like that. If you want to learn from God, you've got to take the whole counsel of God and say, Lord, if the shoe fits, I'll wear it. If it comes against me, then Lord, let it be. Teach me from your word. Show me from your word. And really, what this is all a story about is how God brought somebody from disgrace to grace. And how that happens is when we stop serving ourselves and we start serving the true and the living God. You see, we come to this place to worship God. We worship God here three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But we leave this place and we serve God every day, every hour. And we're saying, Lord, our desire is to please you in all that we do. And when we do that, Lord, if you're pleased, you'll bless us and you'll continue to bless us and you'll honor us because we're doing your will. It is God's will, not self-will. When we put self-will before God's will, it will always fail. Simply put, selfish desires have to stop if God is going to bless us and give us grace. If we're just asking for things to glorify self, God's not pleased with that. But if we're asking for things to glorify God, God is always pleased with that. God's will. Why do we go to church? Why do we preach? Why do we teach? Why do we live the Christian life? Why do we do the things we do? Why do we give our money? Why do we tell others about the Lord? We don't do it for self-will. We do it for God's will. We do it to glorify God. If we do it to glorify God, God will bless us. If we do it to glorify self, we'll be cursed. It never works. If we're just doing it to be seen, for others to see us and say, man, look at that person. What a great person they are. Then all we've done is taken the sacred things of God and we've done with that what they did. We desecrated it. And then we wind up divided. They were divided from their father. They had no fellowship with their father. He said, no, not me. I'm not united with you. I have no part of your secret. They were not only broken in fellowship with their father, but they destroyed their future. Their children paid for their mistakes, for their sin. Their children paid for that. What do you mean? They didn't get an inheritance. They had nothing to pass on to their children. I don't know about you, but I want something to pass on to my kids. And I'm not talking about money or lands or property or stocks or bonds. A lot of people, they say that's what matters. No, that doesn't matter when you come to the end of life. The thing that matters is that you can say, I've lived my life for God and tried to be a light and tried to be a witness. And when we do that, that's what makes the difference. They see, they know. I'm glad that God says you might be cursed, but you don't have to stay cursed. I'd say some of you would have to agree. There's a time in my life, maybe a time in your life, when I was a disgrace. I was a disgrace to my family. I was a disgrace to my parents. I was a disgrace to God. I was a disgrace. And it's all because of self-will, doing what I wanted to do. But then one day, I had a glorious collision with grace. And I'm glad God looked down and said, you know, I'll look beyond all that disgrace, and I'll let you do something for me. Not because of what you've done or who you are. I'll use you anyway in spite of the fact that others know everything about it. And yes, you may have been an instrument of cruelty and nobody else able to get along with you, but you can be a trophy of grace, and God can turn your life around and say, you were at one time a disgrace, but I don't feel that way about you. You're my child and I love you, and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to honor you. He takes us from disgrace to grace. Basically, that means I'm not what I used to be. Grace makes the difference. He said, who is on the Lord's side? He chose God. And God says that's all that it takes. Now, if you're waiting on God to force you to do right and force you to obey him, it's not going to happen. But if you can say, as God says, who is on the Lord's side? If you're the first one to run up and say, I'll be on your side. He looks beyond your disgrace. He has power to take care of all of that and to make something great out of you and to do great things with your life. You may not stand before the hundreds and thousands and give your testimony, but you can live your life to make an impact on others. At the end of the journey, they'll say, thank God. I'm glad that I know where they're at. We had a funeral today. I thank those of you that were there at the funeral, at the graveside. And wasn't it sweet to stand there in the sunshine and be able to say, we have no doubt that we know where she's at, because she has shown the grace of God in all that she's done. That's what matters at the end of the journey. It's not who we are. It's what he has done for us and in us. Your heads are bowed for one moment as they're getting a song, getting ready to come and sing. Self-will or God's will? Now, I don't know what God wants for you. It's a dangerous thing for people to start telling somebody else the will of God for their life. I don't cater to that. I don't believe that you need to follow God because I tell you this is the will of God for your life. You need to know what the will of God is for your life. But tonight, the plea is simple. Who is on the Lord's side? Are you on his side? Are you going his way? You say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do or the direction I'm supposed to go. God will let you know. And if you don't know, it'd be a good time for you to come and start asking God, Lord, I want to do it your way because that's what matters.